Man, I love that song. That's the first, this morning is the first time I've ever heard that song. But what a great expression of the passage of Scripture that we're looking at today. But not just today, but like the whole book of Ephesians, really. Like reminding us and drilling into our heads, okay, you are new. You're holy. You are righteous. You know, the first part of Ephesians, look, you're adopted. You're chosen. This is who you are. Like, we're so bombarded with messages all the time. Like, you're not that, so do this. And you're not that, so do this. And, like, I think if we just could remind ourselves with, like, those kind of messages of, like, that song and the truths of this word today, man, it would transform our lives. And that's what our passage is about today. Really excited to be sharing with you about light and dark. Kevin Cobb up at our North Campus, our high school pastor, is preaching the same passage of Scripture. Today is his first sermon ever. That's an intimidating, scary thing, right? So let's pray for him that he's a blessing to that campus. And let's pray for ourselves that we hear and receive the word that God has for us today. Would you just bow your heads, please? Father, we would just ask that you would be using Kevin this morning as he preaches your word. That as he shares your truth, that your glory and your radiance would be so evident. We would just celebrate that if we hear stories of how you moved up there. And for us here, Lord, we ask that as we look at this passage of Scripture, we are very expectant and hopeful that your Holy Spirit will move, that we will hear your voice, and that you will inspire change, and that you will break us so that we're willing and able even to confess. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So hiking through the mountains in Glorieta, New Mexico is a great, great memory of mine. One of the things that my friends and I would do as we were at camp, we were in college, is that we would go out at night, usually around 10 or 10:30 after everything is kind of done. And we made the rule no flashlights allowed. And we would hike up this trail that led up to this big kind of flat rock. And as you were up on top of that rock, you could look at everything around you. And you could just see, because it was illuminated by the moon and the stars, like the rolling of the hills and the trees. And we liked doing it in the dark because as we were hiking up that trail, you know, it made it more of a challenge. It made it more exciting. And, you know, then you could, like, grab a branch as you were going and then, like, let it go and swing and pop your friend as he was coming up behind you. And we'd laugh about that. We thought that was great. And then as we sat up there on that rock and we're looking up at the kind of the grandeur of what God created, we think about verses like Psalm 147, verse 4, when he said, "He determines the number of stars and he calls them each by name." And we were just sitting on that plateau, and it was like someone drew these thousands and thousands and thousands of lights up in the sky. I mean, it was magnificent and majestic. And we'd sing songs and worship the Lord, and we loved the image that it tells us in Philippians chapter 2, that you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Like, God gave us that amazing visual of how those lights shine and light up the darkness. And then he says, look, you're like that. You shine in the darkness like that. And then when we're done doing that, it's, you know, usually around midnight or 1 a.m. And we didn't want to walk the path anymore because it was kind of the long way around. So we decided this was the new thing. We just hike straight down that mountain. And under the canopy of the trees, it's completely dark. And there was danger all over the place, you know, big logs and sometimes big drop-offs. And, you know, we'd have to be very careful as we maneuvered so we didn't hurt ourselves. And one night when we got to the very bottom, we hit this road and we knew our camp was down that way. And we started walking. And when we get close to the encampment, one of the staff guys out there, and he sees us. He says, "What are you guys doing out here?" And, you know, we're like, "Well, there's no, like, curfew. Like, what's the problem?" He says, "Look over there." And, like, from about here to that wall is a 300-pound black bear. just kind of doing his thing, you know, walking around. And we're like, he's like, go that way. And we're like, you don't have to tell us which way to go. We know which way to go. We're trying to hide behind the cars and like watch the bear, but not put ourselves in a position like that he could attack us. We're city boys. We didn't know what was going on. And I think that this passage of Scripture today, it deals with these dangers that lurk in the dark. And there are a lot of them. And it also talks about the splendor of the shining lights. So follow along with me as we read the first part of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7, and then I'm going to skip a few verses and go to verse 11. So if you're following along in your Bibles, I'm going to skip a few, and then if you're up on the screen, you can just follow along there. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Skipping now to verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. These verses are all on the darkness that's described in these passages of Scripture. And I see six descriptions of the darkness that I just want to point out and talk about before we get to the section on the light. The first description of the darkness is that it is immoral, it is impure, and it is greedy. We see that in the very first verse. And those concepts and ideas are a summary of all of the content that Rob preached on last week in his sermon in the earlier section of Ephesians. This is just following it up. And in that section, there was a kind of a portrait painted of a person who's living in disobedience. And it had all kinds of things in it, like a person who is lying, anger rages, stealing, unwholesome talking, bitterness, rage, fighting, slander, sexual immorality. And in that sermon last week, the instruction was, okay, you've got this negative thing, well, get rid of that one and instead put on this one, because this is what Jesus is like. And then you got this other negative thing, get rid of that one and put on this one, because that's what Jesus is like. And so it keeps going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And in this passage today, in verse 5, he's continuing the thought when he says, look, for all of this, you can be sure. Like, there's no doubt about it. Let's not be confused. A person's life who is characterized by immorality, impurity, and greediness has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, because a person whose life is characterized by that is not a follower of Jesus. But I think it's really important here that we don't misunderstand what Paul's saying, because it's not like he's saying our behavior operates in a vacuum and that the behaviors themselves will either earn or disqualify you for eternal life. The behaviors are a result of who we are. And so in this passage of Scripture, it's like it flows from our identity. So if we're thinking now about we're in the chapter 5 of Ephesians, but we need to keep the whole construct of the book in mind. That's why when we started with the beginning chapters, we started with this concept of sit. Is sit still over there, or is it up to walk now? Okay. So sit is the arrow that points down, because the concept that through the whole part of the first few chapters of Ephesians, the message was, sit in the truth. Remember the truth. This is who God created you to be. This is how God changed you. It's the concepts that we just sang in that song. Now, because of who you are, this is how you behave. This is the natural outcome. This is the natural result when you do it. And the natural result, on the contrary, if you're going to be full of the darkness and full of immorality, is that you have no place in God's kingdom. It doesn't work that way. They're incongruent. The second thing that it points out about the darkness here is that it is a lifestyle filled with idolatry. And idolatry is any time you put something in God's place. Sometimes, and as it's described in these verses, they're clearly wrong. Like they're immoral things, they're impure things, they're greedy things. Clearly we know, we put those things in God's place, like that is wrong. That's not the way God created life to be lived. Now, we know that. We're like, okay, I know all those bad things are wrong. But, you know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of kind of theorizing among spiritual leaders about the fuller implications of idolatry in our lives. Tim Keller, a pastor of Redeemer Church in Manhattan, has a great explanation of idolatry as it even expands. And I just want to read you a quote from his book, Counterfeit Gods. Because he says this about idolatry. The human heart is an idol factory and takes good things like a successful career, love, material possessions, even family, and turns those good things into ultimate things. Our hearts defy them as the center of our lives because we think they can give us significance and security, safety and fulfillment if we attain them. And what the Apostle Paul here is saying is that if we live a life of an idolater, we are in the darkness. That's natural for a dark life. The third thing that he describes in these verses in verse 5 is he says, as a result of all this, you're separated from God for eternity. The fourth thing that he describes in here is that there's emptiness in your words. The fifth thing that's described here is there's a fruitlessness from your deeds. The deeds are fruitless. They don't result in anything. And as I think about this, you start to see that it's not just like one aspect alone. It's the culmination of these aspects that you start to see, wow, that is a dark life. I was thinking in relation to this about an interview that I heard this last week from John Maxwell, a leader of leaders, a Christian pastor, and he had this quote about how you reflect on your life and how people will talk about you. And listen to what he says. He says, when you're gone, which means when you're dead, people will mostly summarize your life with one sentence. I want to influence what that sentence says. A person's life who is characterized by darkness is going to leave in their wake when they are gone a life that is empty and fruitless. That's a result of the darkness that's lived. I think about, I guess I call him Uncle Kenny. He's not really my uncle, but he's the uncle in my family. He was 73 years old, and he was riding his scooter in Punta Gorda, Florida this last week, and just out of the blue, we got a phone call that he lost control of his scooter, and he went through a ditch and he hit a tree and he died. Just like that. I mean, his wife, Barb, had the stack of his clean clothes sitting on the bed. That she was like, when she's getting the call and she's looking at his clean clothes that are right there. I mean, the futility of life, that's what it reminded us as we got that call. Man, life can go in an instant. And how will people remember us? Is there a sense of emptiness and a sense of futility in the life that we lead? Because that's the life of darkness. Or are we leaving an impact? That's what I think about as I think about these words. The sixth description of the darkness that's written in here is sort of a culmination of all of them when it says, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. This is a weighty and somber subject. But it's important to acknowledge the truth of it. See, God's wrath will exhibit itself by administering eternal judgments. Eternal judgments. And it's in a judgment that's going to send people that live in the darkness to eternal punishment in hell. Because living in darkness is living in rebellion to God. And that's the natural outcome of it all. That is a dark life. I think humanity is universally searching for escape from the darkness and all of the dangers there. You know, people that I have talked with that are living in the darkness, they don't want to be there. You know, I remember talking to a guy named Mike in the little town of Newquay, England. And I was there to talk to people about Jesus. And Mike and his friends were there at a party for the weekend. And they're going by this front of this church where I was standing in this little group, going from bar to bar to bar, chasing girls and watching football. And I'm standing there on the front steps of the church looking at this, basically this huge party breaking out in this little town. And it wasn't really the best way to talk to people about Jesus, but I'm just standing there thinking, how do I engage these people in conversation? Well, Mike walks up to me and he says, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, okay, this is cool. Okay, thanks for making my job easy. I'm here to talk to people about spiritual things. And he starts asking me questions. And his friends, meanwhile, they're like moving down the street. And as we're talking, it became pretty clear and very obvious a few things about Mike. First off, he knew that he was an immoral and an impure man. That was very obvious to him. He had no problem with that at all. He knew he was living in the darkness. The second thing that was very obvious was that he was dissatisfied with all of the spiritual explanations that people had given him over time. He had been given some very, very poor explanations about spiritual stuff. And so because he didn't like the answers and they didn't make any sense, he just kept living in his darkness. But here was the third thing. Although his life was filled with partying and self-indulgence, he felt bored and empty. He's like, man, what do I do? Like, is there more to life than this? It's so boring. Like, it's so empty. It's like the same thing every weekend. So I told him about Jesus. And we talked, and he had questions, and I listened. And after about an hour, he was ready to move on and go try to find his friends. They're somewhere in the town. He's like, man, I got to go find them. And I was like, well, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. And I put a hand on his shoulder and I just prayed for him there on the street. And then he left. And the majority of people, including Mike, I think they want to escape a life characterized by darkness. But what they possess in desire, they lack in direction. And they're confused about how to escape. And they're scared to death to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. And so they often choose to just meander along in the darkness, stumbling around trying to find their way. And we are uniquely qualified to help people get out of the darkness because we used to be there. We are uniquely qualified to shine our light in their darkness because Jesus has lit us up. Look at what it says in these verses coming up now, as it's going to transition now and start talking about the light. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So there's some descriptions of light in this passage, and I'm going to point out four of them. And the first one is this: when God lights up a life, you radiate forever. When God lights up a life, you radiate forever. So we see that in verse 14 and 8 and 13. So let me show you the steps. Step one is that Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate pure light, he shines on us, he lights us up, he illuminates us, and then when we give him our life, we surrender to him, he comes inside and he lights us. So there's an external shining, and then there's an internal illumination. And then from that point, step two is now we shine everywhere we go. Look at what it... So the first step is when we think about how Jesus shines on us is in 14. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, in verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are the light. It's not like you have to manufacture it, rekindle it. That's who you are. That's your new identity. In verse 13, it says, everything that is illuminated. You've been illuminated. There's been, like, you were dark and you were dead, but now you have been illuminated. So there's a contrast here that I'd like to point out, and it's, I think, the way people practically kind of live this out. Some people think of their spiritual life as like a lighter. So they've heard some good things about Jesus, and they like, oh, I like the light, and so they light them. They're like, oh, I'm going to turn on my light. Here I'm light. I'm here I am. And then they get kind of tired, and they're like, oh, man, life is hard living as a Christian sometimes. I think I'm going to turn off my light. So then they kind of do what they want and follow their own path and make up their own ideas. And then they come to church and like, oh, I'm going to church. I think I'll turn on my light. Hey, everybody, I'm light. Good to see you. And then some friends ask them to do something later and they're like, oh, I don't think the light should go there. Let me, I'm going to turn off my light. Okay, now I'm going to go over here, hang out and do that thing. And then, like, that's a completely inappropriate picture of the spiritual life and how the light works, okay? We are not lighters with the ability to turn ourselves on and off. Here's what we are instead. We're a lantern, right? And so Jesus is the light. He comes, he lights us up. And then we have an eternal fuel source. Eternal. It's never going to run out. You can't turn off the lantern. It's going to be lit forever. A few verses that talk about this that I want to share with you because this is really the whole main idea of the sermon right here is that we were once darkness, but now we are light. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge. He's not taking it away. He gave it to us and he lit us up. Matthew 5, 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You used to be darkness, but now you are the light. And you're not supposed to be hiding that light. I love that because it helps kind of set the expectations of how I'm supposed to behave. Because sometimes, and we'll get to this here in a second, sometimes I kind of feel like, oh, maybe I ought to be doing that over there. Like, I used to do that. I know people that are doing that, and they're like, no, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm light. I'm supposed to be doing this. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, just as a summary of what Ephesians 2 talks about. He said, look, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, gratifying the cravings of our flesh by our nature, objects deserving of God's wrath. But because of his great love, God made us alive in order that we might show. We show it by shining light. And what we're showing is the incomparable riches of his grace. Like, that's us shining. 2 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of his darkness and into his wonderful light. And as we declare the praises, we are shining his light. So, certainly, some Christians, and we've all struggled with it at some point, think of ourselves more like a lighter. And they think of themselves more like a lighter because they struggle so much with sin. Like, when they look at their life, like, oh my gosh, I am clearly not light right now. My life is a wreck. As a matter of fact, I am surrounded by darkness. The people around me are dark, and I am dark. And they think, I must be like a lighter, turning it on, turning it off, turning it on, and turning it off. But we cannot determine truth by our changing circumstances. We need to determine the truth based upon the unchanging Word of God. And God's Word says When you're lit, you are lit forever. So, let's reinforce this a little bit. I'm thinking of a couple of phrases that I think would be good to just reinforce this in our minds. The first one is this: I am light in the Lord. So what I'd like to do, let's just say that again. Here, I'll give you another warning so you can all say it, because I think it's not just like, oh, we just want to say it. Like, I want you to think about it. I am light in the Lord. All right, let's do that together. I am light in the Lord. Let me give you a simpler phrase. It's only got three words. I am illuminated. Let's try that. I am illuminated. Think about that. Everywhere you go, you are, I am, we are illuminated. There's a lot of other verses in the Bible that could talk about that. Let me show you the second thing that it talks about in light, in this passage specifically. Light can shine brighter. We see that in verse 10 and verse 9. It's told us after he says, look, you are light. He says, well, now let's find out what pleases the Lord. And I'm going to tell you some of the things. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We do have the ability, by living in a way that pleases the Lord, by living in a way that shows goodness and righteousness and the truth, we do have the ability to shine brighter. And on the contrast, we also, with our dark behavior and our words, we can diminish and turn down the light that we shine. It's like we take the intensity knob of that lantern and we turn it down by dark behavior. Those are all the behaviors we talked about and looked at earlier, like selfishness, idolatry, lying, anger rages, stealing, unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, fighting, slander, sexual immorality. All of those things, when we're doing those things, they're turning down the intensity of the light that God has put inside of us. But I think it's very important to identify, look, those behaviors are not determining our eternal salvation. Eternal salvation is set. It's done. It's only determining, like, how much we're shining or how much we're not shining. So I have a few suggestions, five of them. You think these are going to be pretty obvious, of ways that you and I can shine our light brighter. How we can turn up the knob of intensity to shine our light with a little more clarity. Because often what happens, before I get into those, let me tell you what I think often happens in our lives. We get into patterns of living in the darkness. And so the light starts getting turned down and turning down. So it's just barely glowing. And then what's natural is that darkness attracts more darkness. And so we get some friends and some coworkers and some people in our lives around us that they're dark too. And it's like they take mud and they smear it all over the outside of our lantern. Now, we didn't have a whole lot of light shining in there in the first place, and now we're covered with dirt. And somebody could look at that and think, man, I see a little bit of a glow, but it's not as bright as I would think. Well, that's because we've covered ourselves with dark things. So the first way that we can shine our light brighter is to confess to the Lord things that we're doing that are part of the darkness. We all have them. We just confess it to Him. There's an amazing power in confessing to the Lord and asking Him to change us. I think even shining your light is not just confessing to the Lord, but also to confess to other people. Because other people are seeing the life that we live, and at times, we don't probably want to admit it, but at times when they look at, I'll just say my life, I'm sure somebody's like, really? Like, that's the light? Man, it's appropriate for me to say, you know what? That's not the light. And I turned my light down too. Like, I'm really sorry. That is not who I am. That is not the Jesus that I represent. We just have the freedom to confess it to other people. That's a step of moving into shining our light brighter. A second thing we can do is to progressively expose ourselves to God's Word. And this is like the biggest part of it all. We progressively just keep exposing ourselves. So we're reading it. We're studying it. We're memorizing it. Songs like some of the ones we sung today, we sing them so that those truths get permeated into our souls and in our lives. We put up a plaque on a wall that has some kind of a scripture so that you can always remember that. You put it somewhere in your life so you're always reminded by it, because we have to be reshaped, reformed by it. A third one is that we align our actions with Jesus being the eternal light. So we show kindness when it's undeserved, as an example. You know, when my kids were getting ready to fly on this trip to Florida, they were very, very excited, and something happened on Friday morning when they woke up, because, man, they were nasty, arguing and fighting over everything. I'm like, what is the matter with you guys? I don't know, like, they were emotionally, I don't know what. They're kids, so that's normal. So I'm listening to all this stuff, and I'm thinking about this sermon about shining my light. And my normal reaction when they're in these fits of rage, their emotions ramping up, is that I ramp up my emotion and I meet their fury with my strength. And you go over there, you be quiet, you sit down over there, you go to your room. What's the matter with you guys? That's not very good parenting, is it? But I was thinking about this sermon. I was thinking, you know what? I'm the light of Jesus. Like, and they deserve... what they deserve is not probably what I should give them right now. So here's what I'm going to give them. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to give them some gentleness. And I'm going to give them kindness. That's shining our lights. That's aligning our actions with the light of Jesus. Man, maybe you need to go out of your way to help somebody out. Listen with genuine interest when somebody's talking to you. I mean, things that are in some ways a bit counter to what we feel like ought to happen, but it's aligning our actions with the light of Jesus Christ. Man, one of my favorite ones on this, by the way, is going out of your way to help somebody out. I think that's so uncommon on the peninsula. I was at Home Depot a couple of months ago, parked my car. I was getting ready to go into the green area, buy some plants. And I saw this older woman going by. She had this huge cart filled up with plants and a bunch of bags of mulch and dirt. And I was thinking, awesome. Like, I'm going to go help that lady. Yeah, you know, I just thought this would be great. I'm going to go show some love to this lady. So as I'm parking my car and getting out, she pulls this thing right up behind her car. And this dad and my teenage son are standing there by their car about to walk in. And they said to her, could we help you load this stuff into your car? And I thought, dang it, I was going to do that. You're taking away my moment to shine my light. And I'm watching this interaction. Man, her face lit up. She's like, oh, that would be so great. Thank you. I didn't know how I was going to get this into my car. Like, what a simple thing. How long did it take those two guys to help her put that in there? Not long. How much of a difference did it make in her life that day? That was a big deal to her. All it took was a little bit of thought, a little bit of proaction, to think, how can I shine my light? How can I align my actions with the light of Jesus? So there's a third one. The fourth one is to align our words with the light of Jesus. The things we say. That was obviously somewhat included in this one before, but what I'm thinking about specifically is speaking up and speaking out when somebody gives us a natural opportunity. Hey, what are you going to do this weekend? Hey, we're going to go on this thing going out of town. You want to come with us? And you're thinking, oh, I've got that commitment to do that thing with those people from my church. And so do you say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it this weekend, I'm busy. Or do you take that opportunity and actually describe what you're going to do? Do you describe some characteristic of that environment that they would probably be pretty interested in? You know what? I can't go on that weekend trip because you know what we're going to do? We're getting ready to start this new program at my church. I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to do this. And we're getting ready to plan about it and just kind of dream together. Because now you've just, look what you just would just do there. You're not just saying, oh, I can't go with you, man. I got to go to church. You instead, we've all said that. So don't, you know, I've even said it when I'm getting ready to preach. I'm like, I got to go to church and preach. So we've all done it. The point is, how do we align our words to what Jesus would say? Man, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I get to go play in that thing. Talk to those people about that. I'm going to go share dinner with these people, man. We're so excited just to be sharing life together. Like, naturally talking about it when the opportunities come up. We have those all the time. The question is, as we're trying to shine brighter and brighter, are we taking them? All right, so here's the fifth one. Because it's hard, man, get a partner. Get a friend. Maybe your spouse, maybe somebody in your Bible study who can encourage you along the way, like, so that you don't feel like so overwhelmed by the darkness. But instead, you've got people that are saying, hey, keep going. Do it more. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. Yes, you did it. Let's do it together. And we do it together as a group. There's this big rethinking and reshaping that has to happen in the way we think, because it's natural to think like the darkness at times. You know, depending on how long you've been a believer, there's a progressive change that's happening in your mind as you're reforming how you think and behave. Like, I was thinking about how this relates to, or how this is seen in the first Matrix movie. So Neo, the first time he goes into the Matrix, which is the computer-generated world, he has the ability, because he's no longer in the real world, to do anything. That was one of the just mind-blowing things about watching that movie the first time. People are jumping over from building to building. You're like, that's crazy. How can they do that? Well, they can do it because it's an altered reality. If you can think in new ways, expanded ways, then your body can do it. That's what the Matrix does. Neo had to relearn how to think. He had to forget all of his old ways, and he had to think in a new way. Think about how that's like spirituality and Christianity. We've got to get rid of the old ways we used to think, the old patterns, the sinful patterns, the baggage that holds us down. We have to rethink in a new way and say, you know what? I am the light of Jesus Christ. I am illuminated. Now, how's that going to change my day? How's that going to change the way I shine? How is that going to change the words I say and the actions that I perform? Look, if you're feeling like, man, I am just like so defeated. I feel like the darkness holds me. I feel like the darkness dominates me. Then this concept right here is a key in changing that. Because if Jesus has lit you, Jesus has also given you the power to say no to any temptation you face. It's His power in you. If Jesus has lit you, you have the power, because of Jesus' power, to change any pattern of dark behavior in your life. I mean, we've all felt dominated by darkness before. That's part of humanity. And God knows this about us. He knows that we are weak. That's probably why He just repeats things in different ways all the time in the Bible. Look, you are my light. You are adopted. You are chosen. You are holy. Like, how much does that say that in the Bible? Because we fail to believe it sometimes. We start to believe, well, if I act in darkness, I guess I am dark. And He's like, no, that's not right. Start acting like I made you to act. You are now the light. The third thing that I think this passage tells us about light is this, is that light is not designed to keep close company with darkness. Light's not designed to keep close company with darkness. Look what it says in verse 11 and verse 7. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 7, therefore do not be partners with them. And this is like a, this is almost, quit thinking about your friends and you for a second, because that's going to get all messy. Let's just think about light and darkness in their purity. Let's just say I had a lantern here, and it's light, and then I had like a ball of darkness right here. Could they coexist? Right? I've got a lantern and I got a ball of darkness. What's going to happen? Well, the light's going to light up the darkness, right? They cannot mutually coexist. It doesn't work. The light has to light up the darkness. The only way they can coexist and be close together is if you put a barrier between them that would block the light from shining on the darkness. So here's how I think this plays out with our relationships with other people. It means if you are a Christian, you've been lit, and if you have a non-Christian friend, it's totally normal for you to have differences at a heart level that are putting a barrier between the two of you. How can you connect on the deepest levels of your heart when they don't even believe the deepest things of your heart? It's natural that there would be separation there. And vice versa, it's natural for you to have the closest, richest relationships with people that are also saved, that are also light. You put light and light together, and it just radiates more light. This is why Cassie's and my favorite thing to do is when we're having dinner with other Christians is to just share with each other how we became Christians. Hey, man, we want to hear, how did you become a Christian? This is how it happened with us. I mean, that's the most unbelievable night for us because it's light shining on light, and it's a celebration, and it's great, and it's heart-to-heart connection. It's like the way God made us to interact and connect. The fourth thing that I think it shows about light in this passage, and this is the last one, is that light exposes fruitless deeds and disobedient behavior. It exposes the fruitless deeds and the disobedient behavior. In verses 11, 12, and 13, have nothing to do with these fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Now, here's what I don't think this is saying. When it's talking about exposing the dark deeds, I've known people, you've probably known people, who seem to live their life like they had one of those gigantic 10,000 lumen flashlights, and they walked around all the time, like shining their light everywhere, like looking for the darkness everywhere. Like, there's someone like, gotcha! You're living in the darkness. I'm going to expose what you're doing. Like, I don't think that that's what it's talking about in this passage at all. Remember, we're like a lantern. A lantern radiates light wherever it goes. I think Jesus models that. When Jesus was walking around teaching and doing things, he was not shooting his light all over trying to find the darkness. He was just lighting the darkness of people that he was around. And there's two reactions at that point. One reaction is that people are going to, as they are illuminated, they're going to be like, oh, wow, like, I see dirt in ways that I didn't see before. I want to know, like, how did you get that? I want to know about your light. Tell me about this. What's the difference between us? That's one example. The other example is their darkness and their stuff gets lit up, and then I don't want to see that. Turn off the light. I'm going to back away. I don't want to be near you. But they can't mutually coexist. But our lives are designed to bring exposure to it because we're different. When people hear the things we say, when people watch the way we react, when they hear about what we do with our time, the ways we spend our money, we don't have to promote it. We don't have to like be obnoxious about it. Our lives ought to just radiate it and just trust the difference to what God is going to do. And sometimes that can feel lonely. If you're in a lot of relationships with non-Christians, at times I know I have felt left out because I wasn't invited to go to that party, to go and do that trip with those people. Why? Because they had decided they wanted to stay in the darkness and they didn't want me there. But that's okay. Like, that's the way we live our life when we expose things that are in the dark. So let me ask you this question. What is the point? Like, what's the point of it all? I mean, the scriptures say it very clearly. You are the light. You are going to shine. But what's the point of it all? Like, why does that happen? Well, I think it happens because Jesus lights us up so that we can show other people who he is. Like, that's a big part of it. When you go to your neighborhood, like, Jesus is like, okay, I got you there. I'm really glad you're there because you're going to shine my light there. You're going to show people who I am right there on that street. And then here's the second thing, I think, point of it all, is that living this way is the most satisfying and fulfilling way to live life. You know, I was talking earlier about that guy, Mike in Newquay. He was unsatisfied and bored with his life. That's a common characteristic of people that live in the darkness. You know, somebody might say, well, man, I'm in this awesome season and everything seems great. And you might think, gosh, like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the darkness is an okay way to live life. Give it time. I mean, we've lived that. We know the darkness does not satisfy. The darkness is empty. It is futile. And by living in the light, not only do we shine the light of Jesus, which gives glory to him, which is what we're designed to do, it also is the most satisfying thing for us to do ever. So I just wonder, you know, based on just thinking about it for, I don't know, a long time here this morning, 40 minutes or so, 35, 40 minutes, like, how's that going to change your week this week? Like, as you move around and do your things, like, you are the light. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been lit. So how are you going to show it? And if you're sitting there thinking, man, I think I'm darkness. But I'm shining a lot of light here today as we talk about this. Like, maybe you're drawn to the truths of Jesus and you want to give your life to him. There's all kinds of opportunities every day for us to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And I just envision, and I'm so glad to be a part of a church that does that. And I just think about, like, how amazing would it be if we are turning up our brightness to shine more and more and more. And that's the kind of church I think we want to be a part of. If you would, please bow your heads and let's pray together. Lord, I just want to start off by asking, are there some behaviors in our lives that are more closely associated with darkness and light? And if so, I would just encourage you in the quietness of this moment to confess those to the Lord. Are you compromising in some area and accepting darkness instead of illuminating it? And if a thought comes to mind, I just encourage you to confess it and then start thinking about a plan to shine your light there. Are you willing today to just tell Jesus in this moment of prayer, all right, Jesus, you know what? I am willing to shine your light as brightly as possible. Because if that's the case, then just tell him that. Jesus, it is an amazing honor. It baffles our minds that you looked at us, dark people, and said, I'm going to light you up, and then I'm going to show my glory through you. Like, that doesn't make any sense to us at all, but what a delight it is to be one of your children. Will you please shine brightly through us? Help us to walk in obedience to you, saying yes to the right things and no to the wrong things so that we can shine so brightly for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.